Welcome to JGL Law for You. This podcast is sponsored by Joseph Greenwald and Lake, a suburban Maryland law firm that has been representing clients throughout the DC metropolitan area and across the country for close to 50 years. JGL Law for You is a podcast by lawyers, but not for lawyers only. On JGL Law for You, we will bring you up close and personal with our lawyers and some special guests who will be discussing how to navigate the many legal processes, the developments in the law, other current events, and how they may affect you, your family, or your business. Today, we are talking with Andrea Lopes. Andrea has a master's degree in social work and is a certified life coach. She has over 25 years of mental health experience as a psychotherapist. Her strong belief in mind, body, and spirit connection throughout her professional career inspired her to open Flourish Counseling and Wellness Center in Olney, Maryland, back in November of 2017. And it sounds like if anybody is around to talk to us about the mental health issues that a wide swath of the public are experiencing now, Andrea, it's you. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. We're glad that you're here. So let's start at the ground floor and work our way up a little bit. Tell us, what exactly is Flourish Counseling and Wellness? What does that mean?
Okay. So, David, as I've had a very long mental health history in working in the mental health field, primarily as a psychotherapist and also working in hospital settings. And over those years, I found that while people were making progress, that the more I tuned into the whole mind and body connection and implemented different techniques and services that incorporated mind-body technique, I saw that my clients were making significant progress faster. And I just became more and more interested. So in November 2017 is when I opened Flourish. And what we do is we are a holistic center. We primarily specialize in mental health, but we look at the whole picture. So while we do have psychotherapy, we do have medication management, we also offer other services such as acupuncture, massage. We offer nutritional counseling, mindfulness programs, and life and health coaching. So we've incorporated some of these other modalities that, you know, in some cases, a patient may not need medication. They may respond well to acupuncture or, you know, to yoga. So we, you know, I brought these different modalities together under one roof so we can work with clients to see, you know, what is the best treatment for them.
I see. So it's sort of like for those of us on the outside looking in here, sort of like multiple spokes, I guess, on the mental health wheel.
Exactly.
All right. So let's dig into some topical things, if we can, Andrea, for a couple of minutes. Let's obviously, one of the things that's on everybody's minds these days, and that's the pandemic and how it's affected us as a population, individuals, and so forth. So what I'd like to do first is talk to you a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of issues that people are dealing with. Let's start with kids, you know, younger kids, kids 18 under that are dealing with the directly resultant from the pandemic and being locked in and away from school and away from their peers.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it's really unfortunate. Number one, we're seeing a significant increase in the number of clients we're seeing that are young. We've always seen a lot of children, but it has, and I did look at some statistics, and between 5 and 11 year olds, they're saying the Journal of American Medicine saw an increase of about 24% with depression, and between 12 and 17 year olds, 31%. So there's a lot more kids that are depressed and anxious. And what we're seeing is, you know, these kids that are feel socially isolated, they're not participating in some of the activities that they were participating in that were very significant to them. So if a kid was a baseball player and all of a sudden their team isn't playing anymore and they're not going to school, their socialization is limited to what they do on social media, which we know has been can be very detrimental as well. People are, what we see the kids saying is coming in and saying, you know, I'm being left out. I see that some kids are going out. My parents won't let me go out and do that, but I see who is. So there's that feeling left out. There's also a significant increase in financial stress in families. So there's more fighting in the families, and the kids are feeling their parents' anxiety. So there's a lot going on.
Now, do you see any kids who are in families where there are single parent homes, you know, dad is here, mom is there, or one parent lives in a different place, either due to separation or divorce?
Yes, we do see that a lot.
And what are you seeing in terms of issues, if anything, that's different with regard to those kids?
Well, I know what I've heard and what, you know, my therapists have told me is that there are times when, you know, one parent, when they're at home, the parent is very, very cautious and very strict and limiting. And they go to the other family, whereas that parent maybe have a totally different view on it. And so it's causing friction, and it's in some cases, I know I've talked to families where the child doesn't want to go to one home anymore.
Yeah. In my world, obviously the divorce lawyer world, that raises a lot of potential areas of conflict between the parents. And of course, who's right in the middle of it? It's your client who at mom's house is allowed to have kids over to watch movies, but at dad's house, you know, has to put hand sanitizer every time she goes from one room to the next, kind of thing, right?
Exactly. I just had a call yesterday from a mom who that's the big issue. And she feels so her daughter hasn't been coming to her home. She's been staying with the dad and he hasn't been on top of her about school. She doesn't feel like, this is, of course, as you know, as an attorney, I'm hearing one side, but
sure.
You know, she's concerned about what her daughter's eating, how she's not engaged in anything outside of the computer, that her schoolwork's not getting done. So then that affects the child's mental health. It affects the more conflict between the two parents.
Raises anxiety levels, I presume, for everybody involved, and raises the conflict, right, as you said, between mom and dad, right? So, let's toggle to the older portion of the population, adults, and what kind of issues have you seen either that have exasperated or new or different since you know March, April of 2020?
Well, I think the thing that has really been the most difficult for me is the single kind of older people that have been really alone this whole time. Either they have a pre-existing condition, so they really, and they're not living with anyone. So older people, whether they're middle-aged, older, or even some younger people, when you're living alone and you're working at home and you're not getting any human contact other than Zoom, it's creating a lot of significant depression. Loneliness, we know, is in isolation is very detrimental to our well-being. So that is one of the most concerning things.
Let's make me an example here. I come in, I live by myself. I'm used to working in an office setting. And now all of a sudden, you know, my office is my kitchen. And my entertainment is my kitchen. And where I talk to people is my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to feel like I just can't take it anymore, right? I mean, I don't know what to do. I'm not talking to anybody live. I'm not seeing anyone. My kids are grown. My ex-wife doesn't speak with me. How do you help me or someone like me?
Well, first of all, I mean, I guess it depends on the health too. We can always go outside. And this is one thing that I discovered the other day on my own as I was sitting outside. I thought, there's so much change in the world now and change is grief too. We feel loss and grief when things change because grief is change we don't want. So when this happened, nobody wants this. So we're grieving it. But the one thing I found when I was sitting outside and I was listening to the birds and I was looking at the sun, I was like, this is constant. This never changes. From when I was a child, it's all sounded the same and looked the same. So I really talk to my clients about you can get outside and you can do some safe things outside with people you know, whether that's bundling up and taking a walk, going to meet at the park. So I'm encouraging people to do the best they can to get at least get outside, because we know that's healthy. And then even though the virtual relationships aren't as significant and don't give us everything we need, they do meet some needs. So trying to encourage people, if they really don't have a support network now, reach out, go on Meetup, find some hobbies that you can engage in. So, you know, really encouraging. And then also learning to tolerate being alone. So there's a lot of different ways that we can go in and support people and teach them how to, you know, manage this time.
Okay. Now, let's go to category three, since I'm a lawyer, so I'm an outline guy, right? Let's talk about couples and people who have, and this is something, as you know, my wife and I have spent a lot of time talking about, and certainly during the pandemic have talked about related to our book and so forth. But let's start with, what kind of stresses are you seeing in relationships between partners?
Well, the biggest thing that we're seeing, and I hear this personally too, just from friends and people that I know, is that when both parents, especially if you're looking at parents with children in the home, if everybody's working from home, it tends to, what we're finding that people are saying, is that the woman feels that she's being left with the burden of doing the online virtual schooling and handling the things at home while her husband, now this is not always the case, but sometimes it's the other way around. But there seems to be this inequity of who's shouldering all the responsibilities that have to be managed now when everybody's home.
And the animosity, I presume, that arises from that, right?
Also, I just keep hearing things like, you know, if I walk in and see him taking a nap on the couch one more time, I'm going to stand it. It's so unattractive, you know, like, so people are, whatever your perceived flaws are just being magnified 100% because we feel trapped.
And how do you help a couple who comes to your office or your therapist talk to them about how to work the way around those kinds of issues where we're on top of each other, where I don't feel like he or she is sharing equally in the responsibilities and I'm feeling put upon, right? I mean, that's basically what you're saying.
Right. Well, I think you probably know this best because your book was excellent in terms of how to communicate with one another and the different core aspects, conversations. And I think the first thing is just being able to validate each other and say, look, this is really a difficult situation for all of us. And getting support if they need it. If they really feel like it's getting out of hand, well, they are, if they would be, I'm just saying this to the people out there, if you are struggling, get some support now before it gets worse. So we are finding that, you know, people want, if they do come to us, they're typically wanting the help. So they're more open to looking at how can we rearrange the day? Let's look at it. Let's communicate. And I think people are open to that, if they're the people that are coming to us, at least.
How about the folks who just feel like they don't, you know, they're boxed in, they got no space. So, you know, I turn around, he's there, you know, I go to the bathroom, he's there. I go to the kitchen, he's there. I go to sit on the couch, he's there. You know, and there's this overwhelming, you know, I'm like living with this blanket that I can't take off of me, right?
Some
degree, right? I mean, imagine you see some of that.
Oh, absolutely. And even with kids, you know, everybody, it's like, I don't want to see my kids right now. So we all have to take our space. We all have to be able to say, I'm getting out of the house. And like I say, it doesn't matter the weather. You can get outside. Going in nature is so healing. And so it gives you this space in front of you where you don't feel so boxed in. But we can find that space within ourselves as well, which is why I encourage couples to meditate together, to practice mindfulness, or to meditate apart. But just, you know, use these different techniques and skills that we know are so helpful in managing our emotions, in relating better with people.
So how, a couple who's scratching at each other, you know, tell me a little bit about this practicing mindfulness concept. What does that mean?
So mindfulness is basically being in awareness in the present moment without judgment, using all of your senses. So for example, if I'm sitting here and I'll use the example of the woman who said, I can't stand seeing my husband take these naps on the sofa. Okay. So she looks at him, her first reaction, because we have that physiological reaction. Okay. Our amygdala is activated when there's something that's a trigger for her. So every time she sees her husband on sofa, the cortisol is being released and the adrenaline into her body. It's saying, he's not helping me. He's being lazy. So all this stuff, right? That's a reactive response. A mindful response would be, I'm observing right now that I'm being activated. I can feel my heart racing. I am feeling angry. Let me see. So basically you're not judging it. You're not saying, oh, I shouldn't be angry, or I'm getting angry. You're not engaging in it. You're noticing it. You're bringing yourself to the present awareness and you breathe through it and you don't fight it, but you say, could I respond to this differently?
What a great idea. I mean, it sounds, it's a perfect example, right, of how sometimes in life the simplest thing is maybe the most effective, right? It probably would prevent a heck of a lot of arguments. May affect my business a little bit, but.
I wish I could. It's what it does, though. It's a great technique, but it takes practice, and it's the neuroplasticity of the brain. But we can change it over time with practice.
Interesting. So, one more question about the pandemic, then I want to shift topics for a second. Any thoughts or concerns that you and your group have in terms of what you may see when this passes? Right? People are back to work every day. People are back in their cars, back in their offices, or wherever they go from 9 to 5 or thereabouts, and back in bars and restaurants and movie theaters and games. Do you perceive there to be any significant anxiety or any other emotional responses coming when those gates start to open?
Yeah, I think I can actually foresee some negatives, but also some positives. So on the negative side, a lot of people are experiencing trauma, from this. And whether that's like financial trauma, and the result of that, maybe trauma from having a family member very sick from the virus or pass away. So I think that people are going to be more hypervigilant when they're out, possibly even afraid of catching something else. So I think we're going to see some of that, some anxiety from that, some trauma response, as well as on the flip side, I think maybe people will appreciate physical presence with others. So I think maybe we're going to maybe appreciate it a little bit more in the beginning. Hopefully that will last. But my concern is definitely, especially people with obsessive compulsive disorder that they have said to us, well, I've been preparing for this my whole life, like this whole fear of getting sick, fear of germs. So I am concerned about children and how they're going to be affected by this with increased anxiety. And maybe some kids that have missed out on some key socialization time. That's another piece. If a small child has missed a whole year of school and socializing, that can be significant.
I imagine that would be difficult with peer relationships and going back and how things may have changed over the year. Okay. So in terms of your practice and working with legal professionals, I know that comes up on occasion with some regularity with you folks. So let's first talk about what circumstances have you had to work with lawyers? And I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'll probably interrupt you 3 or 4 times. So let's talk briefly about that.
Well, over the years, I've worked with best interest attorneys for children as well as attorneys for both sides. So I think that's our biggest struggle is when we're working with a family, obviously the child's best interest is what's most important to us. I mean, we want to make sure that their best interest is at heart.
Yeah, so just to interrupt you for folks out there who are listening, in the state of Maryland, other states have, they call them different things. In the state of Maryland, there a court can appoint a lawyer in contested custody matters as what's called a best interest attorney. There can be other appointments as well. And that best interest attorney, his or her responsibilities are multifaceted, but one of them essentially is to represent a minor, someone who can't represent him or herself. Now, when that child comes to see you, Andrea, and you're seeing that person therapeutically, just like an adult, right? Your 17-year-old client has a privilege, right?
Absolutely.
You. And let's talk briefly about what's that privilege?
Well, the privilege is, you mean the confidentiality, that we cannot disclose anything that minor or whatever age discusses with us in therapy, unless we are concerned about their safety, their physical safety, unless they've reported some type of abuse, or if we're concerned that they may harm someone else.
So the difference between a minor and an adult here, right, is that an adult, if someone calls you and says, I want to talk to you about what you're doing with Joe, and Joe is a 40-year-old man, and Joe says to you, yes, that's fine, and signs some sort of release and says, yes, you can talk to Dr. Smith or whomever, then you can talk to that person, right? I mean, you can be authorized by that adult. But the difference is, right, a child doesn't have the authority to authorize you to talk to a grandparent or a lawyer or someone else, right?
Right. The parent would give us that.
The parent would have to, but if you're in a contested divorce situation and you're seeing this 17-year-old child who one parent wants you to talk to their lawyer, the other parent's telling you not to talk to anybody, the child doesn't have the capacity to waive that privilege like your 40-some-year-old client. So you're in a bit of a pickle in that circumstance. So when there's a best interest attorney, Andrea, right, that's someone who's been appointed by the court, as you know. And since a child doesn't have the capacity to make a decision as to whether or not you, as his or her therapist, can talk to the lawyers or to anybody else, that lawyer's appointed to do it.
Absolutely.
So you have to have a pretty heart-to-heart discussion, I assume, with that lawyer in that contested custody case as to whether or not your privilege with your 17-year-old should be waived.
Yes.
And I imagine that puts you in a difficult spot.
It does. It really does. But I will say, I think that as much as therapists don't like to have to be involved with attorneys, I think that we do feel better when there is also a best interest attorney for the child.
Gives you a little coverage, I presume. The funny thing about that, of course, is that no therapist likes to talk to lawyers, right?
Yeah.
You know that as well. And my wife doesn't like to talk to any lawyer other than me, and it's rare that she wants to talk to me. I have to finagle things. But let me just ask you one other question on this line, which is when you have this circumstance arise, and obviously, you know, one lawyer wants to hear what you have to say. The other lawyer says you shouldn't be talking, and the best interest attorney has to make that decision. Do you talk to your 17-year-old client about, you know, here's what's going on? I have to decide whether, you know, what we've been talking about is something that we can talk to the lawyers and maybe your parents will know about, or do you not have that discussion?
Oh, absolutely. I do. Because I think that you also need to help them be prepared that if this is brought up, because they often will say, well, I don't want my father to know that I don't really want to be with him. But so you have to work with them and help them communicate these things and, you know, keep them feeling safe.
And I imagine there's some times when you think it's important that privilege should not be waived for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
And times when you think that it's a good idea that it ought to be waived for one reason or another.
There's so many different factors, you know, the stability of the parents, you know, to hear it, the child's mental health stability, the age.
And the risk to your relationship, right?
The relationship is the biggest thing. Yep.
Now tell me briefly, if you could, I know you do this life and business coaching, which struck me as interesting, because I know some folks that I work with that could use a little time management organizational skills. So tell me a little bit what that is and how you help either, you know, a professional or someone out in the workplace.
Sure. So I got into coaching a couple years ago. I found that it was just a real strength of mine to help people, particularly that are going into some type of life transition, experiencing a life transition, helping people, whether it's changing careers, changing the direction of their life. Their children have moved on, so they're ready to start something new. And I just find that very exciting. I've got lots of experience in business, you know, opening my own businesses. So I've helped a lot of people that want to kind of launch on their own. But also things like life balance, helping people with performance. I do some performance coaching because I'm trained in different techniques that can help people enhance their performance in either sports or work or just confidence. So there are a lot of areas with the coaching that I'm really able to support people in whatever place they are in their life, whatever part of their journey.
And finding a balance these days between work and family and love and romance and spouse and all of that is probably not the easiest thing for a lot of people.
Creating balance is difficult, but it's such a key to being healthy and well.
All right. Well, Andrea, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on JGL Law for You. Before we sign off, what's the best way for folks to reach you if they have more questions, want to talk with you, meet with you or one of your mental health professionals?
Sure. My website is flourishcounselingandwellness.com. And our number is 301-570-4050. So they can either call us or go to get on the website, and we've got forms to fill out on the website as well.
FlourishCounselingAndWellness.com. All right, Andrea, thanks again so much for coming aboard. Thanks to all of you for listening in, and I hope you join us for our next episode. I'm David Bullitt, and this is JGL Law for You.